It's the way to do it, isn't it? And it encourages me. Are you encouraged by something like that? Just go ahead and step out on faith, because God won't let you fall. Amen. I was wondering today, have you been hungry lately? Have you? Oh boy, yeah. You know, at 10:33, that's preaching 101. You're not supposed to talk about food. Not good. But I'm going to anyway. Last Wednesday, I was hungry. I didn't eat a whole lot for lunch. And I came here, and what did we have? We had meatloaf, mashed potatoes and gravy, all the fixings. Please try to make it this Wednesday if you can. We not only have homemade pizza, we have church homemade pizza. Nothing better than that. We're going to watch The War Room, right? I haven't seen it. Everybody says it's a tearjerker. It's wonderful. So please try to make it. Another instance where I've been hungry lately, Cindy and I went down to Arkansas not long ago, and she went along to shop. I think she had a good time. But a friend of mine and myself, we spent the whole morning working really hard. And you know, you can work up quite an appetite when something like that happens. And we were in his neck of the woods, so I said, well, what do you want to do for lunch? And he said, how about Golden Corral? Golden Corral. Have you been there? It's an awe-inspiring place. Golden Corral. I hadn't been there in a long time. And we walked in. Of course, you got to pay first, right? You may not be able to reach your wallet when you're done at Golden Corral, so they make you pay first. We stepped up, and I'm not kidding. There was probably 12 or 15 big columns of white plates. And every column had this plastic doohickey, plastic harness around it. And I didn't know what was going on. And I went first, and I grabbed the plate on top, pulled it out, and the whole thing went ka-chunk. It was spring-loaded. I mean, they have a way of making it easy to eat in a place like that. It was awesome. And then you look out on 10 or 12 big buffet tables, all kinds of food, you know. But we had quite a time that day. And today I'd like for us to go to the book of 2 Kings and look at another hungry man. I want us to look at a man that is hungry, but he's not hungry for food. He's hungry for more of the Spirit of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. And I want to read there, starting at verse number 1. Let me take a little swig of water, just on the onset here. Everybody there, say amen. Amen. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, this is what it says. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied the same thing, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet, if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Heavenly Father, we love you so much today, and we thank you for the wonderful time of worship that we could come and praise your wonderful name together. And your spirit is in this place. We can feel it. And now, Lord, as we break the bread of life, as we look to your wonderful word, oh God, I pray that you will bless us. Help us to glean wisdom today, to live by and draw closer to you with. We'll be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. So we have here a man named Elisha and Elijah. Sandy mentioned it to me just this week. It may be helpful because they sound almost identical, don't they? Elijah and Elisha. The only difference in those two names is the letter J and the letter S, right? Elijah, and as she said, and maybe it helps some people here, because J comes before S in the alphabet, right? Elijah, J, came before Elisha, S. So Elijah is this old prophet that God's about to take to heaven, and Elisha is his underling, his apprentice. So anyway, that's for free. So we have a man here named Elisha, and he is not wanting just one plate full of God, is he? He's wanting double portions. He is hungry, and I appreciate his intensity as we read these verses. Nothing's going to stand in his way, is it? He is saying with this, "I am not satisfied with where I'm at." How many of us can say the same thing? I want to draw closer to God today. How about you? But Elisha and Elijah is making their way. And I believe the old prophet Elijah is kind of testing his apprentice. Because as we read, he keeps saying, "Elisha, why don't you just stay here and relax? And just kick back and relax." And Elisha, he says that same thing that I read several times here. "As surely as you live and as the Lord lives, I will not leave you." That's what we need to say. Not because we're next to a prophet, a God that God used mightily, and we have seen it, but because we walk with Jesus Christ, don't we? Through this world, through this Christian world, we are to stick close to our Savior Jesus. And so they leave the place called Gilgal. Now, Gilgal is a very important part of the Promised Land. At Gilgal, it was truly a beginning for Israel, the history of Gilgal. And the name Gilgal actually means a rolling away, a rolling away. And God told his people Israel that the reproach of Egypt that had been their life for 430 years, it's time to let it roll away. Let the reproach of Egypt just roll away. And in effect, get over it. You know, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. And a lot of firsts actually happened at Gilgal. Gilgal was the site of the first Passover that was observed outside of Egypt. Gilgal was. There was a new generation of Israelite men that were circumcised at Gilgal. That's a beginning for you. There was also the fact that the manna, that heavenly bread that God rained down on his people for 40 years, it all stopped at Gilgal. And the people, the Bible said, ate from the fruit of the land at Gilgal. So it was definitely a place of new beginnings. In our Christian walk, what is our beginning? It's coming to Christ, isn't it? And that's wonderful. As a matter of fact, it's been said, and I hardly agree with it, it is the greatest miracle of all, when we accept Jesus in our lives. But let me say something. That is the beginning of the Christian walk. That is just the beginning. In effect, that's your Gilgal when you come to Christ. And it's kind of like the illustration of a little girl that fell out of bed one night. And she was crying, as you can imagine. She fell out and she was crying. And her mother hears her, rushes to her side, picks her up, and says, "What happened, honey?" And the little girl looks at her and said, "I don't know, Mama. I think I just fell asleep too close to where I got in." And sadly, that's how it is sometimes in the Christian world. People just get into this new faith and they fall asleep. They say, "That's all I want." But not Elisha. Elisha says, "It's not enough." And in verse 2, it says, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha says, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And then we see an interesting repetitive thing here with the company of prophets. And that really interested me. And I did a little research. And, you know, the Bible teaches that before Christ, God would speak through his prophets. Remember that? And so Elijah is a prophet. Elisha is a prophet. And they run into these hosts or houses of prophets throughout their journey. And so it's interesting. They all know what's about to happen, don't they? Did you know, Elisha, that Elijah's going to be taken today? Yes, I know. They're all in on it. They all understand it. But aren't you glad that when Jesus came, do you remember what happened when he died on the cross? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It says in the Bible that the curtain, that enormous, thick, heavy curtain that separated mankind from the Holy of Holies where God resided, what happened to it? It was ripped from top to bottom, remember? That's what the Bible says. And so because Jesus came, because he died, because he rose again, we can enter directly in to the Holy of Holies. Isn't that wonderful news? In this day and time, though, it was spoken of through the prophets. And all the prophets knew what was going to happen. And so the next little stop on our trip today is Bethel. Bethel. Can you think of anything that's interesting that happened at Bethel? The Bible tells us, if you recall, in Genesis chapter 28, that when Jacob was running for his life, remember that? He had stolen the birthright from Esau. And he was running, and he stopped at a place. And the Bible says that he used a stone for a pillow, remember? And he dreamt a great dream, and the place was called Bethel. And he dreamt of a great stair chase that started at the earth and went all the way up to heaven. And also that angels were ascending and descending on the stair chase. And he called the place the house of God, which is what Bethel actually means. But it happened because of this incredible dream that Jacob had. So we have left Gilgal. We have left the beginning in their walk, and we have come to Bethel. Now, Bethel, I think, illustrates the idea that in the Christian walk, we can be lost in dreamland a little bit sometimes. Bethel was a place of dreams when Jacob dreamt that dream. But can I tell you that a lot of people just dream dreams of living for God? Have you ever experienced that? I have in my earlier days. I just kind of fantasize, wouldn't it be great if somehow I could get over this particular sin? I would fantasize, what if I didn't do this anymore? What if I started doing that? And it's a place of imagining and dreaming and fantasizing what a sold-out life for God would be like. And some people stop in their Christian walk at Bethel. They stop and just dream what it would be like. And there's nothing wrong with dreams, is there? God inspires dreams a lot of the time, especially when it includes God, that he's given us a dream to accomplish wonderful things for him. But we can't stop at dreaming, can we? We need to dream, and then we need to do. And I can tell you from personal experience that if we avail ourselves to God, and if we continue to plead with him to use us and bless us to bless others, he will answer that dream. And you don't have to stay in dreamland. You can keep going. Guess what, Elisha? There was no way in the world he was going to stop at Bethel. He had to keep going. Well, in verse number 4, let's look there if you still have your Bible open. Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." Jericho. What do we know about Jericho? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Jericho, oh. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And the walls that came a-tumbling down. I think I started that a little bit too low, maybe. You remember Jericho, where God's mighty hand crushed the enemies of Israel. Jericho, where he decimated the foes of Israel. You remember what the Bible says about it in Exodus, don't you? How God told Joshua to tell the people that for 6 days, they were to make one march around that mighty city, that incredible wall of Jericho. Did you know that ancient historians say that the wall of Jericho was so imposing, so incredible, they would have chariot races on top of the wall? That's how incredible it was, the wall of Jericho. But that God on the seventh day said, and seven's always been a number of completion with God, hasn't it? But on the seventh day he said, march the people around 7 times, remember? And then on after that, have a mighty shout because the Lord has given you the city. And that's what happened. And the wall didn't fall in, the wall didn't fall out, the wall just crumbled. It's like the mighty hand of God just went, and it was over. Can I tell you today, I think Jericho is emblematic of past victories. Past victories. How does that affect our Christian walk? Do you know people, like I know people that I used to be one of these people, where we might say something like, well, boy, do you remember the good old days? Do you remember when so-and-so used to preach over at so-and-so? Do you remember 5 weeks of a revival? Do you remember when the Spirit of God was moving? Do you remember when all those people would get saved? I think that's what Jericho is today for us. It can be a time of looking back. But my God is the same yesterday, today, forever. And he has a place for us today. He has works for us to do today. He has revivals for us to see today. A refreshing. God doesn't change. He doesn't need to change. He's perfect. And I believe that the time is today to see God's mighty power. Please don't misunderstand me. I love church history. I've taken several classes in church history. I love to look at the past and to appreciate what God... Please don't misunderstand me. But we can't live in that past. We have to keep going forward, don't we? Just like Elijah and Elisha, they weren't stopping. They were going forward. And I believe that's what God wants us to do today. Well, they're still on their journey. I hope you've worn your tennis shoes. We're going along with them today. We're going from Jericho and we're going to another place. Verse 6 says this, "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan River,'" right? The Jordan River. And he sent him specifically to the other side of the Jordan River. What does that represent? I tell you, in my opinion, it represents the place of life before the promised land. And truly, it's a place where all of us have come from. If you know Jesus Christ, we have crossed over the Jordan and we're now in the promised land. But we all have a history on the other side, don't we? Can I tell you today that in my thinking, there's like two kinds of people come to Christ. And he says that we are to live in the world, but not be of the world, right? But some people try to, what's the old term, straddle the fence? Some people try to live for Christ, but yet still live on the other side of the Jordan River. They still try to live there, and it doesn't work out. And we know what our text tells us, that Elijah and Elisha, and this was a mighty miracle, of course. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, struck the water. I actually like what the King James says better. What does it say? Smote. He smote the water, right? That's like hitting it with a little bit of an attitude, I think. Ooh. Smote the water, and it parted, and they went across on the other side, and I can only think that maybe it's because Elijah was making his exit from the promised land. But Elisha didn't want to stay over there very long, did he? He wanted to get back over from our text. And it's incredible that these two men are together. And Elijah asks, you know, "What would you like? I want the double portion." Can I tell you, that's the only, it's okay to be, to want more when it comes to God. It's okay not to be satisfied when it comes to God's Spirit. And so they're there, and they, and you know what the text says, that they were separated by the fire, the chariot of fire and the horses of fire. And whoa, there he goes. Elijah's going up into heaven in a whirlwind. And I love the next part, because if you look at it, it says Elisha was watching, and what does he see? He sees that cloak, he sees that mantle in some versions, and it's falling down, it's coming back down. Why do you think that was happening? Because Elisha got the double portion. Elisha says, "I want more than one trip. I want more. I want all I can contain." And he sees the mantle falling down, floating down. And I love what he does. In my mind's eye, I can see him. He has fixated his eyes on that mantle as it lands on the shore of Jordan. And in my mind's eye, I can just hear the crunch of gravel under his sandals as he walks with purpose and grabs that mantle. It was for Elijah, but now it's tailor fit for him. He got his double portion. But he doesn't want to stay on the other side of the Jordan. And so what does he do? He rolls it up just like he watched Elijah do. And he smites it. He smites the Jordan and it separates again. Can I tell you something about the other side of the Jordan? When you remember when the Israelites came out of Egypt and there was 2.5 tribes of Israel that was not wanting to go into the promised land. Do you remember that? Ephraim, Manasseh, or half tribe of Gad. Anyway, Manasseh, Gad, and Ephraim it involved. And they petitioned Moses for it. Moses said, okay, you can stay over on the other side if you want, but you have to go over and help us conquer the land. They said, okay. And they did. And then they came back when that was over. And it's evident. Do you remember the time in the gospel where Jesus went to over the lake to deliver the madman of Gadara? Do you remember that? He was a demon-possessed man. And Jesus made a special trip over there. And the word Gadara, where he was from, is from the root word Gad, which was one of the tribes. So this was their people that didn't want to go over to the promised land. And when Jesus got there, he delivered the man. And you remember the story that the demons in the man petitioned Christ to let them go into a herd of swine. Remember that? And then it went off the cliff into the lake and they all drowned. Now, that tells us a lot right there, because under the law, Israelites should have nothing to do with pigs, swine. But they were keeping swine, weren't they? And the worst by far is what else they did. When the townspeople came out to see what had happened, the Bible says they found the demon-possessed man clothed and in his right mind, remember? And what did they do next? The Bible says they begged Jesus to leave their land. That's what happens when we live on the wrong side of the Jordan. When we live outside the promised land with all its promises of God, and we decide to set up house on the wrong side. And that's what happens as Christians if we live on the wrong side of the Jordan. Because these were people 2 or 3 generations later, and they were not living obedient to God. So here we have Elisha, now ready for his ministry. He picks up the mantle, and he strikes the water. And it separates. And what does the Bible say? He walks over on dry ground. Dry ground. A miracle. Just like him and Elijah had done a few minutes before. Just like the Israelite people had done at the Red Sea. He walks over on dry ground. Why? Because he got his double portion. Why? Because he didn't stop at Gilgal, the beginning. He would not stop at Bethel and just fantasize about what life could be like if he was obedient to God and stuck close to him. He did not stop and would not stop at the Jordan and just reminisce. Oh, Elisha could have pulled up a big piece of wall rubble and just had a great time thinking about, oh, isn't God been good to my people? But he wouldn't stop. And he wouldn't stop on the wrong side of the Jordan River. I believe there's a message in here for us today to keep going with God. Stay close to the Lord. He said in the Bible that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And I believe that we need to steal a phrase from Elisha and say, as long as you live, Lord, which is forever, I will not leave you. Amen. Oh, by the way, if you look at your Bible, Elisha was used in exactly twice as many miracles as God used Elijah in. He got the double portion, didn't he? Can we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. You show us so many things from your word, Lord, but your Holy Spirit is alive in our hearts today. And you show us, oh God, what it means to stick with you. I don't want to be any other place but right by your side. I don't want to stop in the beginning. I don't want to stop in dreamland. I don't want to stop just in the past. But I believe, God, you have a mighty work for this church and for all people that are yours and stick close to your side. And I don't want to live on the other side of the Jordan anymore. I want to live where the promises of God are in the promised land. I thank you for this, Lord, that you give us strength to live a life for you. If we just ask it, you will give us provision to stop those things that seem to have a hold of us. And I thank you, Lord, and everybody here loves you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.